In the first line of the gospel today, it said they observed him carefully. Another translation says they were watching him. That doesn't mean they were watching him in admiration. That means they were observing Jesus. They were observing him the way Democrats observe Republicans, the way Republicans observe Democrats, in the way political pundits observe politicians. They watch them and they observe them to see whenever they were going to mess up. And they may have some slip of the tongue, some gaffe, some mild contradiction in what they say. And when they do, they pounce right on them. And so they were watching Jesus to see if he would make a mistake of any kind, and they were ready to pounce on him. But in the gospel today, Jesus was watching them too. And he's observing their social climbing, their jockeying for position, their, hey, take a look at me. Now, every week, the staff gets together, and we pray with the gospel for the next week, and we talk about it for a while. And in our conversation about this gospel today, we were wondering, what would be the cultural equivalent of what Jesus was observing in the gospel today? And we all kind of agreed that the cultural equivalent to what Jesus was witnessing would be social media. Isn't social media about, hey, look at me. Look how good put together I am. Or look how outrageous I am. But mostly it's all about, take a look at me. And one of the person in the staff said, I wonder who won the unofficial competition for who posted the cutest first day in school poster in social media. Then we started to talk about ourselves and what are the things that we post here at Our Mother's Sorrows on our Facebook page. What's the meaning behind the things that we post there? Then all the attention kind of turned toward me. And they said, what's up with this very reverent stuff? Or this most reverent stuff? Or Monsignor stuff? Isn't this a lot of social climbing in some way? Kind of jockeying for position? And indeed, it all is. And so in contrast to this, hey, look at me, this jockeying for position, this social climbing, Jesus tells this shocking story that you heard in the gospel today. And it's a story that was supposed to shock because it's the opposite of what Jesus is observing. But it's very important for you to know that this way that Jesus is talking about in the gospel today is the way you and I are going to find peace in our lives, the way you're going to find happiness, as opposed to all this jockeying for position. Because his story is all about humility and hospitality. And both of those things go together. And if there is one thing in the spiritual life that is the most misunderstood of them all, it's at least humility and its companion, hospitality. So allow me for just a moment to kind of take a little bit on humility and also humility and hospitality for just a moment, if I may. And first of all, humility is about appreciation. It's not about self-abasement. It's about the truth. It's not about belittling yourself or saying that you are nothing or a piece of garbage of some kind. For example, everybody in this room probably knows who Tom Brady is as a football player. You don't even watch a football game in your entire lives and you know Tom Brady, probably the most popular football player out there. If you're willing to hear it, maybe the greatest quarterback ever. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that Tom Brady goes, oh, shucks, folks, I'm not that good. I just sort of chuck the ball out there, you know, and they just run underneath that and catch that thing, you know. I'm not really all that good. Wouldn't that kind of strike you as a little bit disingenuous? Kind of a little bit on the insincere side, not terribly humble at all? Humility is about the truth. And the truth is, every single person in this room has gifts and talents. And for you to appreciate the gifts and talents that you have is the first step to being a humble person. And for us to walk around and say, I have no gifts or no talents, I'm really nothing. I'm just belittling yourself. That is a very subtle but very true form of pride in the most profound sense of the word. Secondly, humility and hospitality is about stewardship. It's not about ownership. The gifts and talents that every one of us in this room have are meant to help other people. They're meant to serve other people. If you get that, you're humble. If you don't get that, you're proud. To think that I am somehow the origin of the gifts and talents that I have somehow is both very common and also to it's very, very dangerous spiritually. To somehow think that I'm the origin of my gifts and talents places me at the center of my universe and not God. Remember the narrow gate we talked about last time. Or it makes me think I'm better than you, especially if your gifts might not be quite so apparent. Thirdly, humility and hospitality is about being open and not about being closed. It's about being open to using your gifts and offering hospitality where God wants you to do it. It's being humble and hospitable where you see need and concern in the world. So there's a little brief thing about hospitality. And God is always trying to get our attention in some way to get us to learn this very important lesson about the spiritual lives and about life. And oftentimes, even the most proud person can somehow kind of get this, somehow have a breakthrough in their lives, even though they might be one of the more self-absorbed persons in the world. I'd like to tell you a story, if I can, a true one, about someone, a young executive, who was very successful, very proud, and very self-absorbed. And he's driving down this neighborhood street. He's probably driving too fast in his spiffy new Jaguar, you know? Look at me. Here I am. Sometimes cars are the ways in which we show our social status with things too. And he's watching for kids kind of ducking in and out of between the cars. And all of a sudden, he kind of slows down a little bit because he thinks he sees something out of the corner of his eye. All of a sudden, out of the clear blue, there is this bam on the side of his car as this brick hits the side of his car, slams on the brakes, jams it in reverse, goes back to where this brick came from, finds this little boy and pins him up against his car and says, "Hey, kid, what's up with the brick that just hit my car?" And he's like, "Really?" You can imagine how wired up he is. "This is my brand new Jaguar, you know? That's going to cost me a lot of money to get that fixed." And the little kid is in tears. And he says, "Mister, I'm sorry, but I couldn't get anybody to stop and help me. The only way I could was to throw the brick." And then eventually, with tears in his eyes, he points over to his brother, who was older brother, who had fallen off of his wheelchair on the ground and had hurt himself. He says, "Mister, can you help me pick up my brother? I can't lift him. He's hurt, and no one would stop to help me." And this, watching and seeing that other boy, was just hit him right in the gut. And it was this wake-up call for this young, proud executive. Now he's the one who has tears in his eyes as he goes over, picks up this older brother, puts him in the wheelchair, takes his handkerchief out, kind of cleans his cuts and his wounds, his bruises and all the different things, and makes sure everything is okay. And the little boy says to him, "Mister, thank you very much." And as he's going back to his car, he sees the little boy pushing his elder brother down the street on their way home. And you know, he never fixed his car. He never got that dent fixed because it always reminded him, don't go through life so self-centered. Don't go through life so self-absorbed. Don't go through life saying, "Hey, folks, everybody, just take a look at me. Look at me." And he said he never fixed his car because it reminded him that it took a brick for for God to somehow get his attention in his life. So my little homily for all of you here tonight is kind of a subtle little brick for all of us to watch how you and I wander our way through the world. To repeat again, humility is not about belittling yourself or trashing yourself. It's an appreciation for the gifts and talents you have, and you have them. Don't tell me you don't. And I'll say this, and you might get upset with this. If you think you don't have a, you should confess that. That's a sin, to think you don't have any gifts or talents. That's that, because you do. You do. Secondly, it's not about ownership. It's about how we use them in stewardship. And number three, it's about being open to God, to life, and to other people. And lastly, this. It is the way, this humble way Jesus talks about, that you are going to find the peace and happiness that you're looking for in your life. If I can, now when you go home today, if you can remember this, I want you to go to your Bible and look up Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians chapter 2, and read the first 11 verses. It is the most beautiful, I'm not going to tell you what's in there. It's the most beautiful articulation of what humility is in the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, just the first 11 chapters. But let me close by pondering the words of the first reading today. My sons and my daughters, conduct your affairs with humility and hospitality, and you'll be loved more than the giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God.